the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Ready, Axeman? Jack O'Toole style. Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, back for another week. I think that's what the actress may have said to the Bishop, Kingy. Back for another week of frivolity.
Oh, you're a very happy young man too.
Well, because of the what's going to be coming to Melbourne.
Yes.
Yes, I am. I was very excited, Kingy, because...
We always start with a little pop culture.
Yeah, we do. So, obviously, big Tool fan, massive Tool fan, in fact. And we mentioned in a few podcasts ago that they were coming to Japan.
Takes one to know
one. Yes. And, look, they are an extraordinary band. And I think they played a couple of songs at the Black Sabbath Back to the Beginning about a month ago. So, it was the first time since 1993 that they've ever been pro shot in terms of film.
Yeah,
they won't allow you to film them.
Yep.
You can't use your phones. They give you one song at the end. I'm sure people do, but predominantly it's not everybody holding their phones up. And so they've never been pro shot. The last time they were pro shot was in 1993 in the Australian tour.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so there was pro shot footage of them, which is the first time. So I think they played two songs. Anyway, they're coming to Australia and they're coming to play at the Good Things Festival. So
the second band on the bill is pretty handy.
Yeah, Weezer's playing as Weezer's well. There's about 50 or 60 bands.
Kenosha, Wisconsin's Weezer.
Yes, that'll be good. I've got Weezer's first two albums. But so looking forward to it, King. And I didn't think that Tool would be coming. A friend and a mate and I are very big Tool fans, and we were getting excited because they were coming to Japan. And then nothing was announced them coming to Australia. I'm thinking, well, Japan's in middle of December. They're not going to come after that, so close to Christmas.
Came before.
So they're coming for three nights. I think they play Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane at the festival. So, yeah, very, very exciting. You don't have to – their music is unbelievable.
Yep.
It is unbelievable the way they put it together. So anyway, but looking forward to that, Kingy, and looking forward to Sunday.
Yes, two games to go. We've got a massive pre-game.
Who have we got?
Tom Harley.
Oh, yeah, Big Tom.
Yep. Well, Swan's CEO for the moment, and then about to become
former heavyweight champion. No, he's a
two-time Cats premiership captain.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a real culture setter for the Cats.
Yeah, so we're gonna have a chat to him. Andrew Mackey's gonna jump on
again.
Have a chat.
Mackey,
now we haven't spoken to Mack for about 5 or 6 weeks.
Right.
So we've probably been talking to him once a month, I reckon, which is pretty good to get the footy boss on, giving you a bit of an update about what's going on behind the four walls, contract updates. I suspect
Domsey's dog.
I suspect there's no more contract signings to be done now. I think everybody that is locked away for next year is done.
And how good is it, Kingy, that the Cats have got everybody that they want locked away, and we look like we're in the... I mean, I only...
Rowan Marshall, I think, is wearing the hoops next year.
Yeah, that's a big get for the Cats.
Does that end the career of Reece Stanley?
Yeah.
Or does 100%. This latest injury to Toby Conway go, maybe we need to keep...
Oh, I don't think you could... Well, I don't know how they set their salary cap up, but, I mean, I'd be suggesting, and I'm only guessing, that Rowan Marshall would be coming to Geelong for perhaps less than what he's playing for right now at St Kilda, possibly. But he's happy to do so. But they're still going to be paying him a reasonable quid. He's not coming for minimum chips, which is what Reece Stanley is playing on. Look, if they could fit it into the salary cap, it's a possibility. Whether they can is debatable, given that they're paying pretty big contracts for...
Smith.
For Smith. They've just re-signed Dempsey. Now, he's not on massive money, but he'll be on good money.
Holmes will be on good money.
Holmes on good money. O'Sullivan, they've just re-signed him now on a lower contract, but still good money. Who else? They've just re-signed Grian Myers. He'll be on pretty
good
money. Shannon Neal. So they've got blokes there who are not at the top end of their careers, probably in terms of their... Well, Grian Myers, potentially.
Yep.
But the others are not at the top end of their salary potential.
Holmes won't be far away.
No, his next contract will be massive at 26. So I don't know whether they can pull that off to keep Stanley.
So do you go in with Marshall as your number one?
And hope one of those kids below...
Well, I think Edwards is going to be a good player.
Yeah, well, is he first year?
Edwards?
Yeah.
No, he's in his second.
Right, so he'd be third year next year.
Correct.
Well, it depends what they think of Edwards, and I can't comment because I haven't seen him, but...
I like what I've seen.
Whether they think he could pinch hit, can you get Rowan Marshall's stats up? He's been, for a ruckman, if somebody asked me, I would have said he's been pretty durable in terms of his career. Now, that doesn't guarantee you anything, but... I can't remember a point where he was missing games, out every second week. He's been a pretty, particularly the way he plays and the position he plays, he's been quite durable. Am I making that up?
So he'll be 30 by the time he gets to Geelong.
So he's 29.
Yep.
So he's right. Let's put it this way, Kingy. He's right in the wheelhouse for a ruckman of his best footy over the next 2 or 3 years.
So the last 4 years, he's played 21, 24, 23, and he's played every game this year.
Yeah. So he's been a really...
So every game last year, did they win that elimination final?
No, they lost.
Lost that. So yeah. He played every game that year, and he played all bar two in 2022.
Yeah, look, he's been... So that's a good sign. Now, how often do we see a player go to another club and then get injured, or vice versa? A couple of players have left the Cats who could never stay fit and suddenly were fit. Link McCarthy comes to mind, even Nekai Cockatoo, even though his career never took off, they were able to get him reasonably sound for want of a racing parlance. But look, that's very exciting for the Cats to be able to bring in, well, possibly bring in Marshall and Warple into that mix.
The other thing with Marshall too, he didn't play his first senior footy till he was 21, nearly 22. So he's actually a bit, not like Blitzars, but a bit Blitzars-like in terms of probably hasn't had the footy, the senior footy early where he could play till 33, 34.
Well,
Geelong would probably get... Geelong, I reckon...
get 5 years out of him.
Yeah, if they get four really good years out of him, maybe a fifth, I reckon that's a good result because that will give Ed Woods really
or
time to develop.
Or one of those kids.
Yeah.
Or
even Mollier behind them as well, who's in his first year.
I'd love to know what sort of money they'd be paying a Rowan Marshall to come, what sort of money he's playing on this year and what they're getting him. But, I mean, is it are you here? I mean, I'm only on the periphery of all this. Are you hearing that it's very, very likely, or is it still...
It's got a lot to play out because it's a De Koning going there is a start.
Well, he's definitely going there, isn't he?
Well, we think.
He's not playing at Carlton.
No.
He would have signed by now.
So the more that just... Yeah. You would have to think this: where there's smoke, where there's fire with this one.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
the addition of Marshall and Warple into the Geelong midfield next year would be
significant.
Strap your helmet on.
Significant. And the Warple one looks like it is, a very good chance of happening. He hasn't re-signed at Hawthorn, if he's going to re-sign, he'll re-sign by now.
Yeah. The what'll be interesting now is Day getting hurt, Warple will, as we touched on last week, back into the Hawthorn midfield after starting as the sub against the Crows. It's now whether what he produces over the next month.
I don't think that's going to change things, Kingy, right now. I think it's reached the point now where players have made their minds up.
So you think he's...
I think things are in place beyond that now. If you've been offered a contract by Hawthorn to round 4-5 and then again been approached again mid-season and then approached again round 15-16 and you're still not signed, I don't think anything that would happen between now and then would alter the path that you've taken. Now, obviously Nasiah Wanganeen-Miller is out of St Kilda. Yeah. I mean, they're in turmoil, St Kilda. I know they're getting De Koning, but, I mean, there's talks of Wilkie.
Yeah, that's been flatly denied.
I know it's been denied, but...
Basically, the coach coming out and saying, I was just on the phone to Callum Wilkie, and he said, I don't know where this is coming from. He's not coming out and saying that if that hasn't happened.
What about Windhager?
That one's bobbed up out of nowhere.
I don't know.
It's 36 disposals 3 weeks
losing
ago.
Losing Wanganeen-Miller is enormous for you when you've had a struggling season, your best player by the length of the straight leaving. That leaves you up the old creek, Kingy, without the proverbials, I would have thought. Have you ever been up there?
No, I haven't, Benny.
Have you ever been up any creek without a proverbial?
No, I haven't, Benny. I always make sure I carry a spare paddle.
You always stash away, do you?
Yeah, just in case.
Just a spare?
Just a spare.
Yes. Got a spare one.
You've got a spare one, Benny.
Just in case.
Just in case. Just right. If there's a little accident, you just want to make sure you've got that spare paddle.
Yeah.
That's good. Anyway, Cats, Swans, what do we make of Friday night, Benny? It was a middling performance. It was get the job done and get out of there, get the 4 points.
Oh, I would have thought. I mean, the Cats were into their, were into their third game where they were playing, rabble, really, unfortunately.
Off a 5-day break.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can lose interest mentally.
Self-preservation?
I think so. I think a bit of that comes into it. Let's not get injured. The irony there is that that's probably when injuries happen. But I think it was more of a mental thing. The Cats, I mean, look, I know the margin got back to 20 points, but you never thought Geelong were losing.
No.
It was always...
I said that in the call, but
it was always safe in Geelong's keeping. Did they wander off mentally? Did they perhaps go away from what they had been doing at times? Possibly. I saw some vision showed during the week of a few areas where they just wandered off mentally. De Koning had one when he I don't know what he was doing, but he should have been on the goal line. He wasn't. They got a goal. There was a couple others there where their skills let them down. We saw across this weekend that, I mean, Fremantle were very lucky to beat Port Adelaide. Very lucky.
Adelaide were lucky to beat West Coast.
Well, I don't know about that. I watched that game, Kingy, because that was the last game of the round, and I'd had what you would classify as a little investment. And the last leg of that, you yes. might believe this, the last leg of that was the Crows to win by more than 10 points.
And they won by?
They won by just over 10, I think. About 11, I think. Anyway, there was a little G up. There was a pep in my step because I'd had a number of legs in the lead up to that.
Gamble responsibly.
Yeah, and the more you bet, the more you win sometimes. So you just got to just balance that out, Kingy, if you can. So
Is it your shout, Benny?
Yes. So anyway, so I did watch that second half with a little bit of interest, more than a little bit.
You did have the feeling that Adelaide were going to it.
Adelaide dominated the second half.
Yeah, they were going to overcome
They would have had double their inside 50s. Yeah.
But, gee, credit to the Eagles.
Yeah, they had a crack. So my point is there that, you know, it doesn't take much at this level for you to wander off mentally to allow the opposition in. So Fremantle did it. I mean, what about Sydney and Brisbane? Now, I watched the last quarter of that game. Brisbane absolutely dominated Sydney. They couldn't kick a goal to save themselves. But they must have had four times as many inside 50s as the Swans.
Just ran out of time in the end.
Ran out of time. They were inaccurate. But it's an indicator of where the competition is at. I mean, St Kilda fell over the line against Richmond. Mm. So I think the Cats did enough. They were fine. Would there be some coaching tools? Would there be some highlights shown of things they perhaps don't want to be doing? Yeah, probably. But I thought it was a relatively professional performance under the circumstances.
Yeah, 40. And if you flip it around, they kick straight and kick 19-15. All of a sudden, they're winning by 10, 11 goals.
So it was 30. Was it 34 scoring shots to 15?
Yep.
Yeah. So they've had 2.5 times.
Well, they've gone scoring shots. They've gone 4-5, 3-5, 4-3, 4-6.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. Look, I actually thought it was a good performance. The Jack Henry coming off, but supposedly he's okay.
Okay, yep.
Do you reckon they risk him this week?
They've got a game to win.
I know. This is what I was thinking, Kingy. We've had a bit of talk between our Kurzweil Cat Attack listeners and ourselves about the Cats' easy run home and how it would, you know, impact their finals campaign.
This is not an easy game.
No, this is my point, that this game has suddenly become not only a tricky one from a physical standpoint, because Sydney, albeit it won't be playing finals, are competent, very competent, and the mental pressure for the Cats. They know the win this game, and barring divine intervention against Richmond, they will finish top two and earn a home final. Mm. So there's that spectre of not only it's not, because I think it's very different if you go in, say, fourth, and then, you know, if you win, maybe you get second if X, Y, and Z loses. Mm. This is win and you stay in the top two.
Yep.
So the mental pressure of that, combined with the fact you're playing an opponent who would love to tear you a new one and ruin your finals, your run to the finals, add to that the fact that they're in pretty good form, Sydney. They're okay. I mean, I struggled to beat St Kilda. Yeah, okay, they beat Brisbane in Brisbane. That's a good win. So they're a tricky opposition. I reckon it's a really, really good test for the Cats. Yeah.
And if they were to lose, the door actually opens up for them to fall out of the top four.
Well, they won't lose to Richmond.
No, but other results go against them, potentially.
Yeah, this is potentially...
So just to give you an idea, so if Geelong were to lose and then win, they finish on 64, Collingwood can go to 68. Frio can go to 68. Although, do Collingwood and Frio play each other? Collingwood play Adelaide
and they play Melbourne.
No, they play Melbourne. So let's say they get over it. Right, Frio this week, Brisbane at home, and then have got the Dogs. So tough. Gold Coast, they win their they've got three to play.
They've got GWS, haven't they?
Yeah.
This week at home.
Yeah, and then,
that's a big game.
And then Port at Adelaide Oval.
They should win that.
They should win that, but that's Kenny's last game.
And then Essendon.
And Trav Boak's last game.
Yeah.
And then they Essendon as well. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, if Geelong were to lose, that they may have to come out of an elimination final, which would be not ideal.
So this is a magnificent test on the eve of the finals. How do you hold your nerve? Can you play well? Can you beat a team that is not a finalist but has finals type characteristics in terms of obviously played the last two grand finals. So I reckon it's absolutely ideal for the Cats. I reckon we'll get a little inkling as to where we are. Now, I'm not saying beat Sydney and then suddenly the flag, they're going to go on and win the flag, but I just reckon that this is the type of test that we've sort of been talking about the Cats not having.
Yeah. So, danger. So I suspect Henry plays. Like, he's on the injury list if they have he's not even a test.
Let's put it this way. If he needs to play if he's right. Yeah. But if he doesn't play, clearly there's an injury there. Yeah.
But
they're not resting him.
No. But they haven't even listed him as a test. They've cleared him to play. Dangerfield, in the end, Martin was managed.
So they say, but yeah, that's
that's interesting that you're managing a bloke who came on halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Do you believe everything that comes out?
Nah, of course not.
So he's probably had a little niggle.
Some description, but has been cleared to play this week.
Yeah.
Does he come in? You bring in Dangerfield
in? Yeah, the coach loves him.
So coach, Dangerfield,
coach
Martin.
Coach is enamoured by him.
So is it as simple as Dangerfield, Martin for Clark and Nevitt?
Yeah, I would have thought.
And Martin's a sub again?
That's a possibility. That's a possibility.
A bit stiff on Mitch Nevitt.
Yeah, look, it was good to get a game under his belt. Look, I thought we didn't get much of the ball. I thought Jai Clark threw himself in.
Yep.
You know, it's difficult when you're getting limited minutes to come in and have an impact. You're throwing your, you know, you're probably trying too hard in some ways because you know it's a really small time frame to make an impact, but I thought his courage at times was fantastic. Did he get much of the ball? No, I think he had about six possessions, Jai Clark. But it was interesting after the game, Kingy, when we spoke to Tom Atkins, I asked him about it was good to get a game into Nevitt effectively. You know, he may be a required player and, you know, it was good to get a senior game close to the finals. He said yes, and he said it was also great to see Jai Clark out there as well. Yep. So clearly there's a bit of love from his teammates for Jai Clark. And
Clark's contracted for next year. Yeah. Nevitt's not.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. I think Nevitt, look, if they're getting Warple and that happens, if I'm Mitch Nevitt, as disappointing as it would be for him, probably being a Geelong boy, I think you're looking elsewhere just to get more opportunity. Mm. And you go there as a ready-made, hopefully, plug-and-play player. Yep. At another club. It's just not... He would start... Let's put it this way. If he's not part of the Cats in the finals, he would start the year on the outer,
yeah,
having to break in. Now, I'm not saying he's going to walk into another club and be a player, but if he goes to the right situation, he could be... like, if Steele... Let's talk about Steele at St Kilda. Leaving? If Windhager and Steele leave, St Kilda might be one that might be an option for it.
Yeah. So six games this year for a total of 20, 78 disposals in those six games, 26 tackles. So like 13 disposals and four and a bit tackles a game, 16 inside 50s, 14 clearances. So he's actually averaging 2.5 clearances a game as well.
I don't mind him. He's a foot soldier, but I think he's a competent foot soldier and... He just needs to get more games, but at Geelong, he's not getting them. So, really interesting decision there, not only from the club's perspective, but also from Mitch Nevitt's perspective in terms of his career, because how long can he sit? He's done, what, 4 years?
This fourth, yep.
Yeah, this 4 years of his apprenticeship is over. Does he want it? Does he back himself in and say, I can win a spot in that Geelong team next year? Or does he think my opportunities are better elsewhere? Or do the club say to him, I think your opportunities are better elsewhere?
Elsewhere. And they can get something for him, potentially.
Possibly. You're not going to get much.
No. Get a third rounder.
You might get something from Kerr's Hire. What would you get, King?
Quality equipment for hire and sales, Manny. From something Vacanoisen related.
Yeah, Jim will sort you out. So,
Jared.
Yeah, Kevin.
Jared, Benny.
That's it, Jim.
Do you know, we're actually having a double whack through the next few weeks
I had a double whack once. No.
No.
I did. It was. You know when you're in the bunker.
Yeah. And you hit it twice.
Yeah.
It goes up and you follow through.
It's called a TC Chen. Remember he did that in the Masters.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, no. Michaela Bowen from the Cats AFLW lineup. We're going to do a weekly AFLW Cat Attack podcast.
Oh really?
For Curse Hire.
Do you want me on in it?
Probably not.
Do you think she'd like anything that's light blue?
Maybe. Maybe we'll get you in for one episode.
Right, I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Let's see how we get into the flow of the season first.
I might go on Saturday and watch the Cats AFLW game.
Yeah, they're at 3:35.
At home.
At home.
Yeah, 3:35 kickoff.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
I could be there for that. We bounce at 3:35, but we don't kick off. We're not running.
Kick off as in like literally. I just meant kick off as in that's when things kick off.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's when you start refreshing.
We don't need you refreshing at 3:35.
Not in the Arvo.
Not going to watch St. Joseph's this week.
Who are they playing?
They've got
someone rubbish.
St. Albans this week.
I'll probably give that a miss, King. Is that at home?
Is that at home? I think it is.
Well, if it's at home, it could be a chance. Just imbibe on a few refreshments.
No on-ballers this week?
No.
So St. Joseph's, for those who know, obviously Benny's got a link to St. Joseph's Football Netball Club. They have a thing called the on-ballers. They've had it for years where they have hand-picked functions at games where it's basically...
Four a year they have.
Rock up and enjoy company of others and have a couple of quiet ones.
Yeah, they're usually pretty loud by the end of the by the end of the footy. No one watches the footy. They're just refreshing and telling old stories about how good they were back in the day.
You having a Blackmans? They do have the Blackmans down
there.
Yeah,
they do, King. Yeah, I've had a couple of those. I could do that. Anyway,
I think they're at home. I am.
Well, I might go and watch the girls play. What do you think?
I think you better go and watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you related to Claudia again?
Oh, look. I'm not related to her.
By marriage.
Yeah, it's the old the chief handicapper is...
the Minister for Finance and Entertainment.
She waits me out of the contest every every way. I try and claim three and she's no good. Anyway, she's going away this week. Hallelujah. Anyway.
Hello, Marianne.
Oh, she does listen to this rubbish. Anyway, she has to listen to my drivel during the week, but she's not there. So I said that. I said to the 12-year-old last night, King, and it wasn't lost on her. She knew what I was talking about. We're in the kitchen, and I said to her, "Ella, can you hear that?" And she goes, "Nah." I go, "Me neither." It was just not. There was just nothing, King. It was fantastic.
Bit of humour there, Benny.
Yeah, and she got it. She knew exactly what I was talking about. Anyway, so. She's street smart. I don't think there'd be any rockets getting launched out of her school bag to Uranus. but anyway, she's a bit street smart and she's got a good sense of humour, which is what we want.
Yes.
But what were we talking about? She's related to Claudia's parents are related to Marianne.
Yep.
Cousins.
Yep.
So Ivan and Vanika.
Yeah.
They've become... big Cat fans.
Right.
Well, they were Cat fans prior, but they're even bigger Cat fans now. And we had her on Friday night. She speaks well and she's very good.
Her and Georgie Rankin had an absolute ball.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. She was quite bubbly, Georgie Rankin.
Yep.
Yeah. So, daughter
of JR.
Yeah, who taught me at school.
And taught me.
Yeah, and he was looked younger than I did when I was in year seven. Yes. I think he was.
And he still looks young.
I think he was only in year 11 when he started teaching.
He still looks young.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen him for a thousand years.
I saw him 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was at, he played for Leopold. He was at Leopold's past players.
Yeah.
Played in a premiership there, and he was there for the day and dropped by the van to say hi. And
now they were both very good, both well spoken and bubbly, and that's what you need.
They have their podcast, which is Yeah the Girls, which they get together and do that every week.
I don't know why I'm not on it. I should get me on it. Do you reckon there'd be a dump button?
Yeah, I would. Well, I don't know whether they've got one. Anyway, can you answer some questions, Benny?
Yeah.
This is off the KFCX. With Toby Conway returning to the lock following another injury setback, does this make the Cats run for Rowan Marshall as widely reported even more critical?
Yeah.
A dominant big man and a strong inside mid would be recruiting priorities, you'd imagine. Well, that would be Marshall and Warple.
Yeah. Look, it does. It's really disappointing for Conway, frustrating. Do we have any idea of the severity?
It's foot-related.
Is it stress fracture or is it just some sort of... I heard the word specialist used, which is never good.
No.
Look, I don't know. You've got to start to doubt now. Old Loch Ness.
Contracted for next year.
Yeah, look, I mean, you've got to give him next year. He's taken the entire year to get fit, and he played for about 13 seconds and got injured again. It's a theme that's happening every year. I mean, we'll have to wait and see what the severity of the injury is. If it's quite a severe injury and he forced to miss the entire pre-season again, I'm starting to wonder about, yeah. I mean, look, it is, and it'd be really frustrating for him above all else. So let's hope it's not too bad and that he can rest it up for 2 or 3 months and then come back and hit the ground running and do a full pre-season, because I think it's time. The Cats have given him 3 years, and all we've heard is we're playing the long game with him. We're taking a cautious approach, which is fine for a player of his size, but at some point you've got to pull the bubble wrap off. And I think that's next year with 3 years under your belt. Surely he's been smart enough in the gym now. He's physically got himself to a point where he doesn't need to be, you know, putting on another 15 kilos. He just needs to get himself fit and get himself sound. Can he do that? But I think you've got to, at some point, you've actually got to start pushing him along. The same thing happens in the game I'm in racing. You fluff around with these horses. You know, the owners get frustrated. At some point, you've just got to push the button and say, can it stand up?
Yep.
And we're reaching that point with old Loch Ness.
Medicus, any concerns about the SCG surface? It's not the time of the year we want to be getting 3 to 4 week injuries.
Nah, well, I mean, hope not. Let's hope they've sorted that out. I mean, it wasn't great there for a period. When was the last game at the SCG?
A couple of weeks ago. I think you've got to go back 3 weeks. Let me just have a quick look, Benny. AFL Main. Gee, AFL tables. Whoever's come up with AFL tables.
Who updates it all?
Somebody.
It must take them all day.
They played Essendon there on August the 2nd. But they hadn't played there for a couple of weeks. They're playing there every couple of weeks.
Look, I don't think there's any... Well, I mean, let's hope there's no issue with the actual surface again. Hopefully that's got that right. But, I mean, Geelong have had some reasonably good results at times against Sydney at the SCG. No Grundy hurts. He's probably going to win their best and fairest.
Andreas Everett's not playing, is he?
No, he's not playing. Nick Davis is out. He's experiencing some awareness.
He's actually leaving the club.
He is. Yeah, I saw that tweet. It was an address to the nation, wasn't it?
State of the Union address.
I had to take a week off work to read it. But Grundy out for them is a big out. Unless I'm not suggesting that just Grundy out, suddenly the Cats are going to walk all over Sydney. But we don't follow them as religiously as we do the Cats, but he'd be winning their best and fairest, surely.
And probably
and all Australian. Yeah. He's the sort of player that can rack up 30 as a ruckman. So, that's an out. They bring in Laddams. Geelong are at full strength. Geelong have plenty to play for, and not that that guarantees you anything. In fact, it sometimes can be to your detriment to have plenty to play for if teams that can't mentally cope with that expectation. Mm. Hopefully that's not Geelong. I think the Cats are experienced enough to be able to overcome that, play their best footy, need to start well. That's going to be a key. I reckon first quarter is going to be a real barometer for the Cats. Start well, put Sydney on the back foot. And who would you be putting Mullen to? 2 weeks in a row we've had him on Merritt, and then we've had him on
Goulden.
Butters, and then we've had him on Jack Higgins. That was my initial thought. He's probably not big enough to go with Warner.
No.
Or Heaney.
No.
So, yeah, I think Goulden is the one you'd probably like to lock down, because when he was up and going, I remember there was a game up there, he set fire to Geelong. Yep. I reckon he had it 39 times.
Was that the game in the middle of last year?
When they just tailed us, but he had it a million times. I reckon it was 39.
37, Ben.
37.
Was it? Seven inside 50s, five clearances. He had 26 uncontested possessions.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, Kingy. I reckon you're right there. I reckon I'd be sending him to Goulden. Warner and Heaney then are the interesting ones. Heaney up forward. Do you go with an O'Connor?
I would think he's the matchup.
Guthrie?
Yeah, I think you don't want to take Zach away from what he's doing. I mean, maybe Stewart. Maybe you say to Zach Guthrie, Zach, you're playing the Tom Stewart role. You're being the creative one. You're the one coming, third man in to a contest. And maybe Stewart has to do a lockdown job. Especially because overhead, Heaney is so good.
Yeah, but he's even better at ground level, I reckon.
Yeah, but I don't think O'Connor could go with him overhead.
Oh, I don't know. He'd be taller than Heaney.
Yeah.
But I reckon he's pretty solid overhead, O'Connor.
But I don't think that's O'Connor's go.
Possibly not, but I don't know. I'd prefer O'Connor in the air than I would at the ground level. I think he's a bit sort of WD-40. Like, doesn't get, needs to sort of lube up a little bit, Kingy. But anyway, and then the other one is Warner. We're probably not going to tag Warner. You just don't want Warner to catch fire and get it 35 times.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Just a game we needed to win. Full credit to the Dons. How bad is the Henry loss? How do you think we'll go in Sydney? Can we win? Just need to clean up our hand skills with the way the results went. Can we finish in second spot? So to answer those, Jack Henry doesn't seem as bad as Yeah, could have been.
Clearly just resting. We heard Jay say after the game that he didn't...
No ice.
No, there was. He seemed to be moving quite freely in the rooms after the game.
How do you think we'll go in Sydney? Can we win? Yes.
Well, you'd hope so. If you're going to win the premiership, I know Sydney are an okay team, but you'd want to be beating a team that's not in the finals when you've got so much to play for. It wouldn't bode well for your finals campaign if Geelong go into this game fully geared up, fully wound up, knowing exactly what the result they need, and then lay an absolute egg.
Outside mid, not much to say on to Sydney. Been loving syncing K-Rock with the TV. Would be great if you could give a 2 or 5 minute heads up. How'd you blokes get into calling the game and your fondest footy memories? Benny, keep it PG. Kingy, get ready to note it this time. Yeah, okay, we will give you a warning that, well, obviously, yeah, you can krockfootball.live, any game, and you can sync up the TV.
Yeah.
Usually do that. So we have to be in delay with our pregame to a certain point. It's a 7-seconder. We come out of that delay, sort of the last ad break, going into, you know, just before the bounce. And then there you can go to krockfootball.live and do your little toggle to get it.
Like the bloke I was having a beer with.
Yes.
He'd been toggling.
How'd you blokes get into calling the game, Benny?
Well, I sort of got pushed into it, really. Wasn't any aspiration. I just started doing the boundary. Must say, King, I worked very light blue originally on the boundary. Some of the things that I said you would not get away with now. We'd be off air and I'd be in jail. But anyway, times have changed. And then I moved up into the stats. So I got closer to the seat. And then I think a couple of other people sort of pushed, said, why don't you have a go at it?
Well, it's when we went to three.
Yeah, we needed an extra caller and someone said, why don't you have a go at it? And I had never tried it. Yeah, as I said, I'd never had any aspiration to do it. And look, I have a bit of fun with it. I realise I'm not the world's greatest caller, but I try and keep it a bit lighthearted, a bit of fun, and, you know, have my own sort of style, I suppose. I was actually, Kingy, this ironically that question was asked, because I was thinking about, I drove home on Sunday, and I don't often listen to a lot of footy on the radio, but I listened to probably three quarters of the Bulldogs and Melbourne game. Yep. And I was listening to the ABC. Now, I don't know who the special comments were Bob Murphy. I don't know who the callers were. Anyway, so I just when I grew up and I used to listen to Ted Whitten and I used to sit, Mum would cook and I'd be sitting in front of the radio about 2 years. And if Geelong were losing, I'd turn it off because I couldn't listen. I couldn't cope. Then I'd turn it back on 5 minutes later and see if they usually got further behind. But what used to frustrate me even as a kid was, which is I probably, you know, have gone the other way, but is not knowing exactly where the ball is when you're listening.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll hear, oh, he's kicked it in. And the next thing you know, someone's marked the forward pocket and they're having a shot. And you're thinking, how's that actually physically possible? The ball's travelled 140 metres. So, I listened to the guys on this station. They were fine, but there was a bit of that. There's a bit of like, how's that passage of play gone from there to there? So I always, but because the age has changed from those days when I was listening, you weren't watching.
No.
So many people are probably watching and syncing or at the game.
Yep.
So it's not as crucial, but I always try and give the listener an idea of where the ball is on the field, because I think it's really important to know where the play is actually happening.
Yep.
So you can link the play up. Whereas I used to find that frustrating, but anyway, I just got thrown into calling Kingy and just, don't know, have a bit of fun with it. And we have a bit of fun and we have a laugh and you try and shut me down every now and then when I get things. I've been pretty good day the last 12 months, haven't I?
You've had to be.
Yeah. Remember when I got in trouble? Justin Longmuir was doing special comments. Remember that year he came and did the special comments? And he was a lovely fella, Justin. He was a ripper. And remember, I knew he nearly fell out of the box when I was doing stats and I said that Geelong's backline, and I think we might have got a couple of complaints from this back in the day when Andy was chief. I said, Geelong's backline is that frugal that it goes to orgies just to have the grapes. Justin Longmuir, I'll never forget it. I don't think he was going to think he was coming to the footy character. He was going to hear the word orgies and grapes and the Cats backline all in the one sentence.
It's frugal.
Yeah, it's a great line, though, isn't it? It's a fantastic. You are frugal if you're just popping into an orgy and just to have some grapes. Would you ever consider doing that?
Return of our Lord Loch Ness. With the success of Jack Martin going from defence to attack, is this a week to get Jake Colajasny into the goal square? That's from Mick Howley.
Well, he had 9 possessions, did he?
Yeah,
he
kicked a goal.
In the VFL. I did see the goal.
Yeah.
And Geelong won by half the time?
No, that was the week before.
Oh, it was the week before. Melbourne. Sorry, I'm a week out. I'm in New Zealand.
And if Collar comes back, does Sally get dropped?
Oh, look, I don't think Jake Colajasny, even though I'm his number one fan, is coming back into the team. Connor O'Sullivan just goes from strength to strength, really. He's not showing any signs that the season, his first season of senior footy, is catching up with him. He's a serious player, Connor O'Sullivan. I'm not breaking any news there. He's way exceeded my expectations, not so much in ability-wise, but just what he's done this year. He's a gun. He's an absolute gun. He's attacking. He took that hanger on the weekend. He likes to leave his man. You know, he kicks the ball well enough. I wouldn't say he's an absolutely elite kick, but he's very competent, and that will only get better. He's rangy. He's got a big tank. We can perhaps see some versatility from him as a player going forward. If there's not a match-up for him in defence, can he come up and be a wingman as a 198-centimetre player with the tank he's got? I mean, that could be another weapon, but he's an absolute star and in the making, and I don't think Jake Colajasny, if you ask Jake, he'd be well aware that he is a break in case of emergency player. And look, put it this way, Kingy, he would go into a final underdone, but you're putting in a player who's very, very experienced. You'd be asking him to play a role, probably just a full-on negating role, and he's probably more than capable of taking that role with his experience. When Jake's at his best, is he actually quite a good mark, quite a good intercept mark? Now, that's probably not going to happen if he is forced to play. But, I mean, there's not too many teams that could lose a key defender and then bring in a bloke who's played in a premiership. And how many games he played? Nearly 200.
Has he got to 200? Is he still sitting in the high?
I think he's high.
High 190s?
Yeah, it's a luxury. You would have loved to have got another 2 or 3 games under his belt, but it's a luxury that the Cats have got that not a lot of clubs will have.
198.
Yeah, it's 2 more.
2 to go.
Yep.
Yeah, if you had asked the question that Jake Colajasny wouldn't get to 200 this year, you would have been well off.
Yeah. And if you had said he wouldn't get to 200 and Connor O'Sullivan would play nearly every game other than getting managed, you would have been rich, Kingy.
From Big Footy, questions have come in. Son of God 29, need to be serious for a minute. Feel sorry for Toby, just as he always looks like he's getting a run at things and injury gets in the way. Now, he got injured in the second quarter, Benny.
Yeah.
By that stage, he'd had 10 possessions, 5 clearances, and 21 hit-outs.
Yeah, he was dominating.
Yep. And so would Geelong.
So how come we've hit Wednesday, King, and there's no word on his injury?
Well, we know it's a foot.
Yeah.
It came out. No, the club have come out and said.
But so there's no update?
No, in terms of the seriousness of it, we don't know.
No.
Consulting with specialists.
Look, it's biddly.
Because the players had days off after playing on the weekend. So the wheel turns slowly sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It must be so frustrating for him. We said that before. He's obviously put a lot into getting back, and I mean, we can only pray that the injury is not on the severe side. If it's a 6 to 8 month injury where he is not coming back until
late pre-season,
March next year, where he's in a lot of trouble, because you could basically put a line through next year then.
We'll be good to get the 35 back this weekend. Do we take no risks with Jack Henry and play Jed versus the Swans to combat Papley, Goulden, etc., and Heaney when he goes forward?
Well, the other one there would be, we mentioned Mulland. Would Mulland be an option for Papley?
Go back.
Like, Papley's missed a lot of footy. He's been in and out of form. So too has Goulden, some would say, I suppose. But, geez, that's an interesting one. I might be a bit of suck and see if Papley's on fire. I think we've got the options for Papley. You know, you've got O'Connor, you've got Guthrie, you've got Stewart. The obvious only tagging option is Mullen for Goulden. We don't have anyone else. If it's not him doing it, no one else is going to be doing
it. It's head to
head. Yeah.
Is there a chance the Cats cut their losses with Jai Clark? I know he's only 21, but not overly quick. 5'11", 77 kilo, mids are a dime a dozen. Just no point of difference with him. Would rather see Ted Closey or even Richko given a chance in 26. Well, Clark will be an interesting one. Contracted for next year. Does he think he can fight his way in? Or does he go, I might have to go somewhere else?
Well, you'd have to ask him. I would have thought the thing that will keep him or want Geelong to keep him at the club is being a top 10 draft pick. Mm-hmm. They're very reticent to let those players go in case they blossom elsewhere. Same with horses. You get a high-priced horse, Pete Rains will hang on to them longer than they should because they don't want anybody else to. So I wonder, yeah, I'd say he'd be staying at Geelong and they'd be backing him in, giving him one more season.
Especially when he's a top 10 pick.
Because I still think if Warple comes, there still is another spot in that midfield. There's that extra spot in that midfield, I reckon. I mean, we've had a good run with injury this year. That's not going to be the case every year. So you need to have some depth, a little bit of depth about it. So I reckon he's the one that gives another year. I reckon Nevitt, if he was smart, would probably say, you know what, I'd like to stay, but my options are elsewhere.
Closey?
Well, I think he's... If he can be a little bit patient, I think he's the bloke that could take over from Tommy Atkins in that sort of role.
Yep.
Now, how many years has Tommy Atkins got left? At his age, with his sort of... He may fall off a cliff quite quickly at some point. I'm not suggesting that's happening now, but he's had a great year. But, you know, even next year. But it might be after next year, then he drops straight off.
Yeah.
And Closey, Cats get a few injuries. Closey gets Shannon Neal sort of style. Gets 14, 15 games next year. And then the year after, he's ready to take over from Atkins. It's just how patient he wants to be. Is he contracted?
No.
Right.
Yeah. And my understanding is Geelong will leave that till late to make a call on him.
Yeah, well, I'd be hoping that they would keep him because I know where everything's worked well this year, but you aren't going to have every year where there's no injuries.
Another front speed, this is from Daz Broncos, touched on Toby Conway. Another front speed, the Swans and the Tigers over the next 2 weeks and have some results go our way, and voila, Cats finish second and maybe Gold Coast third. That is the ideal situation, Geelong and Gold Coast at the MCG in the first final.
Oh, that'd be enormous.
Yeah,
if we could somehow fashion that.
Yeah, Suns with most of their list playing their first final.
Away from home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And not Mind much experience. Rowell and Anderson, they'd be up to the task. Yeah.
Not much experience on the G either.
No. That would be, that would be absolutely.
Crowd of 65,000.
All barracking for the one team. Yeah, that would be, you could not script that any better, Kingy. Yep. Let's put it this way, Geelong would, if they lost that, that'd be one of the bigger disappointments, finals disappointments in recent memory.
Is there a world where we get a GMHBA final if that plays out with the AFL? Just mandate the G must be used regardless. The Cats will only
will they play GMHBA. Gold Coast? Yeah.
No, they won't. My only way that they could is if you found that Collingwood and Hawthorn
had
home finals as well.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to take the traffic off the G.
Imagine that, King. Imagine we got all the stars aligned.
Yeah.
And Hawthorn finished sixth, Collingwood finished fifth, and the Cats played down here.
Yeah. Won't happen.
You'd be nude then, wouldn't you, King?
Well,
you'd be like that bloke that went out a beer with.
Jesse Mellor showed some real signs in VFL games so far. Could be really handy if we keep him as NGA listed for us. Well, yeah, Cats will have the opportunity to bid on. Well, if another team doesn't bid on him, he walks to Geelong. As an NGA, so.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, good signs.
Well, that's all going to go out the window, isn't it, soon?
Not this year.
Father and son?
I think it's done. I'm actually happy to see the back of it. It's not actually a fair rule for the clubs that have not been in the comp for very long.
No.
It was an ideal rule when we had a 12-team Victorian-based competition, and then they had to start playing with it when Adelaide and West Coast and Frio and Port came in by saying, well, okay, well, if you know, Port Adelaide, if your dad played 100 games for Port in the Sandful, you know, yep, he's father's son to you guys. Adelaide, you've got these clubs. You know, you've got North Adelaide, you've got West Adelaide, blah, blah, blah. Same, they split the waffle. As soon as they started doing that, it was compromised. Yep, so, Geelong have done wonderfully well out of it. I'm happy to stand in Chris Scott's corner here. It's a thing of the past. Which other major sporting competitions in the world have a father-son rule?
Yeah. Look, Kingy, and it also doesn't work well for the teams that had players who aren't as been productive in the...
Yeah, whereas Geelong, like, Geelong in over the next...
Well, Geelong back in there was no tallies.
Yeah. Nothing else to do.
That's why Torquay and Ocean Grove, and they all have huge numbers of juniors. Because there's no tallies, Kingy. Bowen Heads.
Dudas Maximus.
People aren't... Do, people,
yes, Yes, Penny, I get where you're going here. You don't have to spell it out.
No, but I got in trouble, Kingy.
Yes, and if you keep going, you probably will again. Dudas Maximus, there was a time when the mid-season training block caused a dip in performance and or losses. Have training methods changed now? My understanding is Geelong did do a very solid block, and probably worth a question of Andrew Mackey this week. But
no, that's the old solid block.
The Ranger.
That's just the Oregon. That's the greatest load of shit I've ever heard.
Can I move on?
There you go. So Collingwood are in a big training block, no, are they? But they're losing games every week. Why don't you stick the blocks you're in when you were winning?
I think that game was another one of those poorer games. Plenty of missed targets and getting in each other's way. Earlier in the year, Scotty referred to one as a blip. Lucky it was against the Bombers thirds and we could hold on for the win. A couple of days rest off for, and relaxation for the players. Looks like Bailey Smith got more of the latter and less of the former. Oh, wow. Hopefully not another injury similar to Conway or Edwards. Pelvic overuse. Oh, wow. Here's my question. Do you think those Oh, must be. Do you think those poorer blip performances are more common this year? Round 2 versus St Kilda, round 7 versus Carlton, round 15 versus Lions, maybe this round. We talked about poor quarters during games. Hopefully we haven't converted them to whole games. But Geelong have had, and every club has them, yeah, you're not going to be on all the time. And when you're only a little bit off, you get beaten. I think of the Sydney game last year. Geelong led by 5 goals at quarter time and lost by 5 goals.
Yeah.
They're going to happen, those performances.
Would Geelong...
St Kilda, second last round last year. Marvel, St Kilda, beaten.
Well, I reckon when they won in 07, didn't they get beaten by Port Adelaide at home, in the home and away?
Yeah.
Dom Cassisi kicked a goal.
Yeah, by a kick.
Yeah, and then they beat them 4 weeks later by 120 points.
Mm.
Yeah. Look, it's a funny game, footy, Kingy.
Howell of 41 did what was required against the Bombers, at times frustrating with a lot of missed chances. Better to be down a bit and still win versus the Bombers and then stink bomb it this week. Swans will be flying high Cheech and Chong style after beating the Lions, and the Cats will need to be at their best to get the chocolates. We'll love to see Mark O'Connor go to Heaney and shut him down. Also, plenty of options for Mullen. Should be a good test for the Cats. Hopefully, like the final scenes of Police Academy, the Cats end with a smile on their face. Right. Talking about Cheech and Chong, which leads me, and I don't know how they're linked, to Snoop Dogg. I'm not sure.
He loves the Cheech and Chong.
I'm not sure about that.
This has got Meatloaf areas written all over it. This is a disaster. I'll guarantee you. This will be absolutely putrid. He'll probably come out and, look, I don't know. Oh, Snoop Dogg, my God. He appeals. Can't say, King.
No.
We'll get thrown off there.
Yeah.
No. At Kerr's Eye Cat Attack Podcast, will be no more.
Right. Anyway, are we doing numbers this week, or are we done with Hydro?
No, we're done, Kingy. So Hydro was actually going to send through his... He was going to do his team, which he'll do for next week. So his team of the two teams,
yep,
the odds and evens, and then see how they marry up. We're going to do our teams the week after.
Okay.
So that was the plan. I did speak to Hydro, who's very excited about the Cats and very excited about...
Can you send me through the list of who's in my team? Because I've got no idea. I haven't kept it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Hydro's kept it. I'll flick you that. And then he's gonna send through what he thinks his teams would be. And then we can do our teams the following week.
All right.
So, but I've got some guns, and you've got Hawkins and Selwood. But I've got Corey. I've got you've also got Enright.
I've got Stevie J.
You got Stevie J. I've got the Gazuki and the young Gazuki. I've got Stephen Reynoldson. He's not in, is he?
Did we who's the 17? Is Bluey the 17?
The 17. I'll have to take that under advisement and go next week. The 17 would have been Bluey, I reckon. But anyway, we're looking forward to that, Kingy. And my team is going to absolutely poop on yours, I reckon.
Is it?
I'll get Malcolm Reed with the one.
Was it Sammy Newman over Bluey?
It'd have to have been Sammy.
Yeah.
So I've got Sammy in the ruck.
You do?
Well, actually, I don't know, Kingy.
I've got Otto in the ruck.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad. That'd be a good matchup, wouldn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
So the 17, Kingy, was... we haven't done 17 yet, so we haven't finished.
Yeah.
Well, it's not on the list. It's absolutely not on the list. So we have not done 17. And we also... So 41, 42, 43, 44 and 45. So we've done those ones. Next pod, 44 and 45, we've done those. Well, have we? No, we did.
Yeah,
anyway, 17's not down. I'll have to get onto that. It goes 15. There's no 16 or 17. So maybe we haven't done those yet.
I don't reckon we have.
Are they there to come? Dawson Simpson, 16. Billy.
David Bolton.
Yes, Bolts. I do refresh with his son every now and then. He's up at St. Joey's.
Which one? Matthew?
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's
a good fella. Actually, David Bolton doesn't qualify. He only played the 28 games.
Yeah.
I think your 16's pretty – oh, actually, no, the 16's not simple. It's Billy or Rod Blake.
Yeah, Rod Blake was pretty competent.
Finished runner-up in a Brownlow, I reckon.
Yeah. He was a very competent ruckman. Mm. Very angular.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that, Kitty.
We'll talk about that next week. The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.